This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hi, Jason Gipps, Joy Production Manager. It's Radiothon time. We still need Joy and we need your support. If you appreciate our free podcast service, our voice for the LGBTI community globally, and the volunteers that make our service possible, please sign up, renew your Joy membership, or make a tax-deductible donation before June 30 to keep our service possible. You may win a prize. Head to joy.org.au and click on either the Become a Member or Donate tabs to support us. If you appreciate our podcast service, let us know in the comments section when making your donation. Joy Podcasts, where you want them, when you want them, at joy.org.au and on iTunes.
Australia's number one award-winning show for exploring sex, sexuality and self.
Hide and seek.
Visit joy.org.au/hide and seek.
As we go along, let us study the male anatomy. Most men know less about their own bodies than they do about their automobiles.
The following feature has been rated R.
Don't panic.
This program contains coarse language.
It is recommended for people aged 15 years and over.
Are you ready? Sit back, turn up the volume, and enjoy our show.
Welcome.
Get ready for the ride.
Hide and seek. Hide and seek.
Hide and seek on Joy 94.9, your show for exploring sex, sexuality, and self. You're with myself, Tim Little, and I am joined by the lovely Ben.
Hello, Tim. How are you?
Hello. Very welcome.
Thank you.
And big thanks to the Chicks Talking Footy, and welcome to our wonderful guests tonight, Craig and Hugh.
Hello.
Hello.
And we're talking interesting fetishes tonight.
We sure will be.
So there are tons of different fetishes out there. I had an encounter with a guy on Scruff who wanted to pop balloons because he got off on that. My first partner loved to dress up in adult nappies and be peed on.
I see.
Not really my cup of tea, but there are people out there who are into that. And you boys have your own different fetishes here. Firstly, Craig.
Yep. Yes, I have a fondness for used underwear. I love a good man scent in a pair of underwear.
And are these willing participants?
Sometimes.
Shut up.
So sometimes I'll do a jock swap and sometimes, you know, like a trick will be round and their underwear goes missing.
Ah, well, let's explore that a little bit later. We've also got Hugh. Tell us your deal, Hugh.
So I make money online through the fetish of feederism.
Okay, explain that.
So feederism is the fetish of being fed or feeding someone else.
Yes.
Yeah.
Interesting. So we're going to explore these
indeed.
Very interesting fetishes.
Hide and seek. Hide and seek. Hide and seek.
This is Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9, your show for exploring sex, sexuality and self. You're with myself, Tim Little, and I'm joined by the lovely Ben. And we are talking about interesting fetishes tonight.
That's exactly right. So, question for you, Tim. Can you tell me what... Now, I'm gonna struggle with these names. Stygiophilia is?
Something to do with zygotes?
It is the arousal to the thought of hellfire and damnation.
That's hot.
Yeah. Gets me every time.
Okay, what about this one? Agalmatophilia.
Oh, no. Hit me.
Arousal to statues.
Well, you know, BDSM with statues. You just hit rock bottom there.
Love it.
Okay. One more.
One more. What about... Oh, this is a good one. Where was it? Climacophilia.
Arousal to falling downstairs. That might be a little bit problematic. Is it like when you trip someone going down the stairs and then you get off on it?
It's odd.
Or is it like that feeling on like a roller coaster when you just like fall?
Oh, perhaps.
Wow.
Because that is fun.
Until you hit the bottom.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then it's nasty.
Yeah, don't try that one at home, I would recommend. Now, boys.
Yes.
Firstly, Hugh, tell us about your foodism fetish, which admittedly is not your thing, but
I make money off it. So how I guess it all started, I guess I'll go from the beginning, is I used to have a mate in university and we used to prank each other. It's kind of the nature of our friendship. I convinced everyone that he was gay, and he took all my Facebook photos and put them on a gayner website as revenge. And that was up for about 2 years, and I couldn't access it, didn't know the password, all the rest of it. It was only when I moved to Melbourne, he finally gave me the password so I could take it down. Anyway, logged on and had a look around because, you know, curiosity kills cats, so you just do it. And had a look around, and I noticed that some of these profiles, it's sort of like set up like Facebook almost. Like, I think as of now, the website actually has 100,000 active members.
Wow.
Yeah, so quite a substantial portion. Most are actually in the States. I think 90% are in the States, the rest being Canada, Italy, and some other European countries. So I had a look around and noticed that some of these profiles had like a PayPal account where you could donate food money. Like
ding 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 ding
to donate food money because they're gainers, feeders, and
food's expensive.
Food's expensive, and so I saw an opportunity, went with it, and so I have a profile set up there. I have a PayPal account, a completely different email address, like all these aliases. I even use a different web browser when I'm doing like I use Safari for it, and then everything else is Google Chrome. Like it's all very like split on my phone. Even my Instagram account that I use for it is private, and I basically make content that gets these guys off.
Wow.
What did your mate think of that? When you told him, actually, I'm making money out of this.
Yeah.
You started.
Oh, he actually doesn't know.
Ah.
Wow. Oh, he has no idea.
He does now, though.
Well, don't know if he'd
was
be
it Craig?
No, it wasn't. But no, so he doesn't know about it. There's only like a handful of people in Melbourne, like my close friends, that actually know. And obviously, people I live with, they all are very up to speed as to what's going on. In terms of how I make money.
Wow.
Through PayPal and all the rest of it.
And what are some of the requests that you get from people?
Let's read some out, shall we?
Please do.
Oh, give me a second. Since 4 hours ago, I've got 7 new messages.
Wow.
What an interesting way to fall into a quite a lucrative side hustle.
Yeah, very lucrative side hustle.
And what happens to all this food that you use?
Well, oh, I don't actually use it.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, there are tricks to doing this stuff.
Food porn?
Yeah.
Yes.
Ooh, okay.
So, for a lot of my Instagram, it's all images.
Mm-hmm.
So, if there is video content, it's like a snippet of 10 seconds, because then they have to actually purchase the full version. Like, I don't put anything out for free. That's not how you do it. With the food scenario, so for example, I live in a complex, and I've always lived in complexes where there are garbage chutes and lots of garbage downstairs, pizza boxes, all the rest of it. So in my room, I would just like open them all up and like do Instagram stories of like the aftermath. like, of what has happened. And, like, I'll go to 7-Eleven and I'll get, like, the Krispy Kreme bags, but, like, empty ones, buy, like, one donut, get one of the 12-pack boxes. You know those ones?
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Just yep. walk out with it. Don't buy the donuts. You just, they have the boxes there. And you just open it up and, like, fold it up and you just, like, crumble the crumbs into the box. So, it yep. looks like there's been a whole box demolished of, like, 12 donuts, an Instagram story, da-da-da-da.
Wow.
And so, you do that sort of, that's how I go about a lot of what I do. And then, for the actual content, I actually do have to eat the food.
Yep.
I'm actually a niche within a niche, I found, in terms of what I actually do for content.
Mm.
So, within feederism, within gainers and feeders, there's something called pig play, which is similar to pup play. Tim's thinking.
Yes, yep. Okay. My brain is ticking over.
Yeah, so it's...
Do you have a pigtail for that?
No, but some people do.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's same sort of deal, I guess, in that sort of aspect.
Yeah.
But what pig play really is, in terms of gainers and feeders, is, like, messy eating and, like, just having shit all over your face.
Yeah.
Like, when you're eating.
Yeah.
And, like, people, particularly in the States, have, like, troughs made for them. And, like, the same thing with the pup paw things.
Yes.
They have similar...
For pig trotters.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. I'm not sure what they are, but the same sort of deal, like, you can't use your hands, so you have to use your face sort of thing.
So, do you see a full body in these shots, or is it just a facial thing?
No, it's not like the, like, top-up sort of thing where... some people get off on, like, seeing someone orgasm just their face.
Yeah.
It's sort of, like, the full deal. And it started off with, like, Photoshopping originally. Like, this is, like, 5 years ago or something like that. I used to... Wait, hang on. How old am I? About 5 years. Hang on.
You're 100, so...
Shut up. 5 years ago, I used to Photoshop a lot of the stuff, so it was just pictures.
Yeah.
But more and more people started releasing free videos. So then I had to, like, get up to speed and go, right, okay, I've got to make videos. And they're, like, privately locked. So, basically, how the hustle happens is I have all my images on Instagram. It's on a private account, so I can't get done. and people request to, like, follow... my Instagram, and then, like, at the top, it'll say, here's my PayPal, donate here, and how I phrase it is, like, $20 USD, which actually is 25 Australian dollars, because I tell them that for a box of Krispy Kremes is $20.
Yep.
They think they're buying me a box of Krispy Kremes.
Wow.
For access to the video, or videos, there's, like, multiple ones, which I do.
So, for those people who might be into feederism,
yep.
Is this, like, kind of saying Santa Claus doesn't exist? Are you totally ruining it for them?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe I'm ruining the fantasy of what I'm doing, but yes. I'm still doing it, so just be happy with it. It's fine.
So, you're like a porn star talking about their work.
Yeah, pretty much, but in a very niche aspect of it.
You know, it's like, we like to believe that the guy came over to clean the pool, but really we know that he didn't.
Did it. Yeah, pretty much. There is no cabana boy. So, yeah, that's basically how it happens. They donate through a PayPal account, which is, how I basically make my money.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And
pay your bills.
Pays more, yeah.
So, they send you a quote. They say that they want to see something in particular, and then you
do
it? Is it like a...
No,
I
do get suggestions and requests from people. Some of them I will not do, just because they're a little bit too far out. Because some of them get really extreme, which is I want you to eat as much as possible and then pretend to die. Like, and I'm like, I don't think that goes well with me. So a lot of these guys are into things like, and it gets really kind of extreme. It goes into immobility. So having someone actually look after you, that you've gotten so morbidly obese that you're actually immobile. Like, you can't move and you can't do anything.
So it's like a domination.
Yeah, so it's like a master-slave sort of scenario.
Yep.
But a bit different.
Wow. Well, we are exploring interesting fetishes here at Joy 94.9 Hide and Seek. We're going to talk to Craig about his fetish for stealing people's jocks very soon.
Hide and seek.
Hide and seek.
Hide and seek.
This is Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9, your show for exploring sex, sexuality and self. You're with myself, Tim Little, and Ben. We have learnt so much already.
So much
tonight.
Already. And now I think it's time to talk. I want to hear more about Craig and his underwear stealing antics.
Craig the undie.
Such an accusatory toe.
When did you first start stealing people's underwear?
Year nine. My first crush was on school camp, and I still have those pair of underwear. They still fit, and I wore them when I went to go to my 10-year reunion because I knew I'd run into him.
Amazing! Did you kind of rock up at the trough and kind of like pull your pants down?
You know, like, he just didn't go to the toilet. I was watching him like a hog the whole night, and I was like, gosh, damn it.
So, what did you do after that?
After what? Like, stealing the underwear?
Yeah.
So, there's like... they go into what I call processing. So, like, I like a good, ball sweat kind of smell. Maybe some pre-cum stains. Those are the things that really get me off. And
so, you need to ferment the smell.
maybe not ferment, but certainly gander a certain amount of musk. So then when I get them, I take them home and I smell them and rub my genitals in them, and maybe I'll wear them for a day before, like, I come in them.
And have you ever been caught in the act?
In the act? No.
Yeah.
There have been a few people who have been like, so I had a pair of underwear and now they're gone. Did you take them? And at that point, I'll come clean and I'll be like, yeah, I did. And if you want them back, you're like, I'm happy to like wash
See,
them.
See, because
and
I would be worried that, you know, people get mad at that.
Well, especially
somebody keeps stealing all my jock straps. That's what I'm going to say.
Especially because, like, some pairs are really expensive, and
that's
I totally
exactly
understand
right.
that. And people have their favorite underwear, like I do. so I would, wouldn't want to take that away from someone. But yeah, if they ask for it back, I'm like 100% give it back. No questions asked. Hopefully.
So your flatmate mates need to be very careful, don't they? Do they have locks on their cupboards?
No, they're fine. They're safe for me.
And it's just underwear of people that you've seen out, you've hooked up with. It's people you find attractive. It's not pinching it off the line.
Oh, no. Well, pinching it off the line's boring because they're clean.
So, the guy from school, am I right in assuming he was straight? Or you...
Sure. He showed me his dick a lot for someone who is straight, but
hey, it was high school.
Exactly. So as far as I know, he's straight. Yeah.
And how did you get the opportunity to nick
school
them?
School camp.
Yeah. So when his back was turned, you just went.
Yeah,
went.
Yeah.
Did you get him drunk or something and then nick them?
No. They just kind of like. So we had some extended camps, and he went to go do laundry. And they dropped as he was on the way to the laundry. And I just happened to be walking right behind him because I was checking out his butt. And just, like, picked up the underwear as if nothing happened. And
And do you have a certain type of underwear that you go for?
I prefer, like, a good kind of cotton. So a brief or a boxer brief or a pair of trunks. Not really into... Or a jockstrap, but I'm not really into boxers.
Okay, so you don't like satin?
No.
What about like a satin trunk?
No.
And how many have you collected, roughly?
Easily 200. So I haven't purchased a pair of underwear in 10 years.
Oh my goodness!
After like I've processed them, they go into my cycle of underwear that I wear every day.
Yep.
Yeah. And then when they get old and ratty out of, you know, wear and tear, they go into a garbage bag, and I have two garbage bags full of underwear that I don't wear out anymore.
Ah, that's amazing. So, you were saying that you've been caught before because people have known that you took their underwear or guessed. What about when you're wearing it out?
Yes. Especially if I... So, sometimes if there's someone who I find really sexy, I will ask them for their underwear, just to be polite. But if I've, like, stolen a pair of underwear and I know I'm going to see that person that day, like, at a party or out for drinks, or even if I go to the house or see them for a hookup or whatever, I'll wear their underwear
to go see them. Oh, that's so romantic.
And there have been a few times where they're like, I have a pair of underwear like that. I'm like, oh, really? Do you? Okay.
And what about underwear with skid marks and stuff like that?
Well, no.
No?
No.
You have a limit.
Draw the line.
You draw a line somewhere?
Yeah, yeah.
So what happens if you snag some underwear and it has that?
I check it beforehand.
You do?
Yeah.
How would you have that opportunity?
You
do a bit of reconnaissance.
Yeah. I mean, like, if it's a trick that's come back to my place, like...
Yep.
I take their underwear off them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so that's full. Like, I get to see everything that's happening, and then I get to throw it in a place that's easy for me. Like, afterwards when they go in, I'm like, oh, you should, like, go wash up in the bathroom. And when they're in the bathroom, I'm like, hide it under the mattress.
So is the fetish for you about the fact that you're doing something naughty and taking someone's underwear, or is it more about the material?
So there's a few things, like the smell really turns me on, but actually wearing the underwear really gets me off. It's the whole idea that like another man's genitals have been in this underwear and now my genitals are sharing that same space.
Yes.
So that kind of like same space connection between the two of us really gets me off.
And what about the smell? Is that one of them as well?
Yeah, it is. It's just like the knowing that they've been working hard all day, this pair of underwear, and you know, that kind of part of it. I do find that I, you know, have a better orgasm with the pair of underwear that I've stolen rather than asked for or swapped.
Yeah.
Because it's the whole idea that, you know, they don't know what I'm doing and
right.
It's a little bit risque. And
have you ever mixed fetishes? So, for example, used underwear in a kink scene or a BDSM scenario?
Yeah, yeah. If I'm getting tied up, they're putting their underwear in my mouth.
Awesome. Look, I'll share something that I had. There was one particular guy who wanted me to wear the same underwear for a week.
Oh.
And then he used it as a gag on me.
On you?
On me.
Oh.
Yeah. And actually, it didn't smell too bad.
I get a lot of...
But it was me.
Yeah, I guess.
So
a week is a long time.
When I swap, I get a lot of requests for exercise. I have to exercise 3 or 4 or 5 days in a row in those underwear before I come over. And
so are you out about this fetish of yours to people, say, on sex apps or hookup apps or anything like that?
Yeah, I am. I mean, it's a very personal fetish. It's like I don't need somebody else involved other than the fact that it's their underwear. So I don't asking for someone for their underwear like dulls it a lot for me. So I'm not ashamed of it. I'm totally happy to talk about it, but I don't tell a lot of people because I don't need them to know. And
sure,
you know, when they offer their underwear, it's slightly less attractive.
Yeah, because I was going to say, if you're putting it out there and people are organising to catch up with you, knowing full well that you're going to request their underwear, maybe it doesn't have the same spark.
So if I'm on like the apps or on those personal websites and I see someone who's like, I have a huge underwear fetish, I'm like, I have a huge underwear fetish. Indeed. Let's catch up. But I wouldn't put that on my profile because when if someone is approaching me about it, I'm like, I think I'd like rather being in control of it and knowing what's happening, and maybe you don't, and that kind of stuff is more appealing to me.
Are people happy to give you their underwear? Just your average trick, I guess? Or are they like, oh, no.
There are some who are like, these are my good underwear.
Yeah.
That's why I wore them here. And other people are like, yes, but I'm getting them back next time. And I'm like, yes, you are, but you're giving me another pair. So be prepared for this to continue on.
Have you ever happened upon underwear that wasn't smelling of BO, that had perfume in it or something like that?
Yeah, yes, I have. It's different.
Yeah.
But I'm like, yeah, for the perfumes and the aftershaves, I'm not that interested in. It's the natural smell of the guy.
Yeah, definitely. Well, this is Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9, your show for exploring sex, sexuality and self. We are talking fetishes tonight. We have some interesting ones here in the studio. Craig has been discussing his fetish for stealing people's underwear. And we've also had Hugh here on the show, who's been talking to us about fooderism. I think that's what it's called.
No, we keep getting this wrong.
Foodism?
Feederism.
Feederism. I'm writing that down. Sorry, Hugh.
There you go.
Have you been to our Joy website lately? There are so many things to see and do. Want to find out when your favourite Joy show airs? Check out the program grid. Missed an interview you really wanted to hear? There's a good chance it's on our podcast feed. Heard a sponsor's message but didn't quite catch the details? We'll find their details on the sponsorship directory. Just realised that your Joy membership has expired and need to renew? Do it all online at joy.org.au. The Joy website, it's your one-stop shop for all things LGBTIQ in Melbourne. Joy 94.9, your voice, your radio station.
Have your say, share your thoughts, connect with your community. Email onair at joy.org.au. SMS 0427 Joy 949.
Hide and Seek.
This is Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9, your show for exploring sex, sexuality and self. And we are talking about interesting fetishes tonight. And we've had Craig on the show talking about his fetish for stealing underwear. And we've got Hugh, who's been telling us about his feederism.
Feederism, yep.
Feederism.
Getting closer.
That is basically the act of eating food on video so people can see it and making a mess.
Just to clarify, not my fetish, just making money.
Just making money from it. And the question I have is, has there been anything that you've said no to?
Oh, yeah. Tons. Yeah? Yeah. God, what have I said no to? I've said no to farting on a cake.
Yes.
That was...
Which is hilarious with the amount of times you talk about Brazilian cake farting.
Yeah, I know, but
what
I find
it... What is that?
Yeah. It's something that I've joked about a lot. But Brazilian cake farting is its own little niche as well. So it's mainly made up of hetero women who will like sit on a kitchen bench or a chair or something with like a cake on it.
Yeah.
And they'll sit on the cake and then they'll like part their cheeks and fart. Like it is exactly as it sounds, cake farting, like sit on cake, then fart. Like that is.
And why is it Brazilian? Is it because they have Brazilians? Or it originated in Brazil?
I don't know. But
is it just cake farting in Brazil?
I think it must have originated from Brazil. I don't know the ins and outs of the history. Maybe Wikipedia might know. Who knows? But that's just what it's known as, I guess.
Have you met other people doing what you do, which in a way is kind of like sex work?
Yes.
Have you met other people within this same fetish?
Yes. So I've met people... on both sides of the coin. So, I shouldn't say it like that. I'll explain that. I've met people who are genuinely into it, actually out and about at Laird, Cirque and whatever else, and they recognize me. And they'll come up to me going, oh, look at you. And I'm like going, shit. So, it's actually happened more than once, actually.
Have they asked you to do anything in public?
No. No, they haven't.
Or in private?
No. Oh, when I get back on Instagram or the website or wherever it is, they'll message me going, oh, it's really good to see you, da, 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 hope we can hang out. I'm like, yeah, sure. But then I've got the other side of it where I've met people who are like me, who want to make money off it. And I've actually had studios in America request me because they actually have like a team that will do this.
Wow.
Because it's such a niche market and they can charge whatever they want to charge, essentially.
So there's porn sites
dedicated
for this.
To this. Yeah, completely dedicated to it. I've actually thought about doing it myself, like actually creating a website, doing it all and doing it that way, because I actually look after two other people's accounts.
Right.
I actually take a management fee off two other accounts. One is in Sydney, one is in Melbourne. So they actually contact me, and I've met them, and they've come to me going, I want to make money from this. I'm like, yeah, sure, give me your details, and this is what you got to do.
So you're like the pimp.
Yeah, yeah. The pimp.
The food porn.
The food porn pimp. So I actually do look after two other accounts, and I take a cut of what they get. And they get the rest. And what I'll do for them is I'll actually Photoshop a few things. I'll apply certain filters that actually make people look bigger.
Yes.
Because shadows and highlights and all the rest of it. And we all know from girls taking photos up here that you've got to take them right down low to make yourself look bigger and thicker and all the rest of it. So I actually look after two more accounts besides myself.
So you give them feedback on what filters to use?
Yeah, I'll actually do it for them because they just don't have the apps to do it, and I've got it all on my phone, I've got it all on my computer.
So do you consider yourself an artist?
No. Actually, do you know what's actually kind of weird about this whole is I've learnt through doing this for a few years, I've learned more about business skills than doing any job. I've actually self-taught myself graphic design. I now can render. I'm not joking. Like, I've actually,
that's amazing.
Like, I've actually taught myself graphic design by doing this. I've taught myself business skills by doing this, and it's actually helped me do what I do now. It's actually kind of scary.
Skills to pay the bills.
Huh? Yeah.
I was curious, how many videos are you uploading? Do you do one a week?
No, I don't do one a week. I do maybe like one every 3 weeks to a month.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, about that. But what I'll do is I'll actually film a whole bunch of videos in a day. Like, I will spend a day.
Yep.
And it's like a shoot day. I'm like, right, let's do my content creation. And, you know, let's get into it. And I'll actually spend the entire day, and it's usually a weekday, so all my housemates are out and they don't know all the shenanigans I'm up to. And I'll actually plan it out. Like, I'm actually planning this shit out.
Mm-hmm.
I know what scene has to happen first in order for all of them to make sense. And then I actually label all my videos according to date when they'll be released. And then there's a few things like on XTube and Clips for Sale and those sorts of sites that actually do scheduled uploads. So, like, releasing at a certain date. So, it's all sort of manages itself.
And how long have you been doing this?
Since I was 19 or 20. So, it's been about 5 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you said you got about, what, 18 follow requests in the last couple of hours since we've been hanging out here?
Actually, it might have changed since we've actually been on the air. Let's have a look.
And how much do you make each week, roughly, on this?
Roughly, it actually fluctuates, like, between week to week. Like, some weeks I won't make any because I haven't released anything. But on average, it's around $500 to $550 per week.
Wow.
So that pays my rent and everything pretty much.
And do you come up with these ideas or you have people send them to you?
No, some of the ideas I come up with myself based on what other people are doing.
Yes.
Again, I'm learning business skills here. looking at the competition. And so some of the stuff I'll come up with myself based on what other people are doing and what other what they want. Like, the audience I have is about 20,000 in terms of who are actively looking at what I'm doing. It's about 20,000 people.
Wow.
10% are female. The other 90% are obviously male. And I think 80% are in the States and the rest are overseas, like elsewhere in Europe and Australia.
And do you know what sexuality these people are? Are they straight, gay?
No, most of them will be gay.
Gay?
Yeah, most of them are gay. And most of them are muscly bodybuilders and like really, really F off hot guys, which I'm like, yeah, I'll get 300 kilos for you, no fucking problem. Like, they're really hot. But no, they are. They're actually really quite good-looking men too, most of them anyway. So I don't mind taking their money too, so it's fine.
Have you spoken to them about what they get out of it?
I used to.
Yeah.
Like, because I was, like, really inquisitive. Now I just don't because I've got all the answers I need.
Yep. What did you find? What's the appeal, do you think?
What's the appeal? I think from, like, talking to a lot of these people about why they do it and all the rest of it, it is an extreme... I can't say extreme. It's just a version of BDSM and submissive domination sort of role play, where the person being submissive is being fed and the person being dominant is feeding them. That's what they get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Some people actually get more of a libido the bigger they get, like more berry. And, God, what else can I tell you? Yeah, some of them actually just suffered from body dysmorphia.
Yep.
Like, some of them have been anorexic or just fallen into that cycle of gay peer pressure where they have to look a certain way.
Yep.
And now that they found that they don't have to be, they just went full-blown with it. And because you're, like... I will get constant messages going, oh, you look hot, you look hot, you look hot, from all these photoshopped photos. So you can imagine, for someone who had body issues and they're getting bigger, being encouraged that way, they feel better about themselves. And I've actually asked, there was someone who actually did it from a psychological point of view. I can't remember what the host triggers are, but someone came up with like these ideas that they weren't breastfed as a child, which I think is kind of BS in terms of fetishes.
Yeah.
But there was one that was like growing poor, being raised in a poor household and not being able to get food as a child led to food being a commodity and therefore turned into a fetish. Like there's all sorts of theories about it which fly around Tumblr, so go on Tumblr. It's all there. But yeah, no, it is an interesting one because it's not a well-known one. Is now. I guess that's the information I have based on what I've questioned about, what, 4 years ago, going, why is this a thing?
Wow. Well, this is Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. We've been exploring interesting fetishes tonight. And thank you, Hugh, for your story there. His story about fooderism. No, I got it wrong again. And Craig, his fetish for stealing underwear. I believe you've got a Twitter account for your underwear.
If someone wants to organize a swap or send in donations, Lycra is also welcome. It is Jordsy339 on Twitter. JORDSY339.
Wow. So you've got a whole online community.
I haven't been on Twitter for a little while, but if I get a few followers in the next week or so, I'll definitely be posting more content.
Wonderful. Well, thanks, guys, for coming
on
the show tonight.
Much.
Really appreciate it.
Joy 94.9.
Radiothon 2017 is coming. May 1st to June 30th. We still need Joy to campaign for your rights. Celebrate your milestones. Report on your news. Be your voice. We still need Joy, and Joy still needs you. Joy.org.au.
You can subscribe to Hide and Seek's podcast for free. Visit joy.org.au/hideandseek for more information. Suggest a topic, a guest, or provide feedback. Email hideandseek@joy.org.au.
Hide and seek.
Hide and seek.
Hide and seek. Hide and seek.
Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.